Morning only through prayer. I want to begin by reading to you from the introduction of my book, Define Your Destiny Through Prayer. God called me into ministry immediately when He saved me. Early in my Christian life, He gave me a vision so expansive that it could hardly be accomplished through a consistent, clear communion being the only way, and to receive what was needed from Him to fulfill it, it could not have been done any other way. I had to be plugged in to Him. I had to hear from Him. I had to talk to Him. I had to have His empowerment. I had to have the guidance of the Holy Spirit, because it was way beyond me. And I understood that I was really in over my head. And in order to succeed, I had to find out how to receive miracles that would, so we could create something out of nothing. It was a beautiful nothing. And God gave us this property and a barn and a farmhouse. And through faith, we came to the place where we could make the down payment. I told you about that 1 week. And the Holy Spirit came to my rescue and taught me how to pray, or this work would not be here today. True prayer began with me the day I realized that each person simply starts wherever he is in life and learns to pray from that point. The enemy's biggest lie is, you're not good enough. You can't pray well enough. Everybody's better at it than you are. You sound weird. You probably haven't had any prayers answered anyway. And he's got all of those discouragements until he comes to the point where he's made prayer some big thing to be feared. Rather than, you know, I ministered not long ago a message called, prayer is awesome. Prayer is awesome that we get to talk to God and that the Holy Spirit empowers that praying. The Word of God teaches us how to pray, and that we have the privilege and the permission by the blood of Jesus to come before the throne of grace. We need to make up our minds to totally get free from all of the lies the enemy has told us and all of the fears of the flesh, and say, I am going to be a prayer by God's great grace. You know, I told about it in my book, that the first prayer that I ever prayed was a borrowed prayer. And I borrowed it from a Methodist minister. By the way, you all are around a lot of prayer here. You ought to pick up some prayer verbiage. I'm in places where so many of the people sound just like the pastor, but you've got a lot of prayers here that you can, you know, you do need a vocabulary to pray, and you get it out of the Word of God. And you can, by the way, you can drop the these and the thous and the wouldest and the couldest and the shouldest and every other that's hard to say. You can just simply talk to God. But when I say simply talk to God, I don't mean casually in an out to lunch way. I mean, you can talk to Him in real American everyday language, because He speaks American. It's good, because, you know, we left the King's English a long time ago. And He speaks every kind of language. But anyway, when we were in revival right after I was saved, I was still in the Methodist church, and we went to Methodist churches to speak, and everywhere we would go to speak and give our testimony, whole churches of people would come forward to give their hearts to the Lord, and especially young people. And it was just kind of like, if you catch a tiger, now what? I thought, well, and so I went over to where I could get next to this Methodist minister that I really trusted, a very old gentleman, and I heard him say, "Dear God, look gently upon this one who has come today." And I thought, well, that sounds really good, and it sounds spiritual too. And so I started praying that for these little kids that were lying. It didn't matter. I could have said ABC because they were ready to give their heart to God. And so each one I would pray, dear God, look gently upon this one who has come to give his heart today. How many of you think God heard and answered that prayer? Well, forget this business about not knowing how to pray and all that kind of stuff. But prayer, if you're going to pray, you do have to learn to talk. Pretend you're at a ball game. Ball games don't mean the same to everybody, you know. A lot of people relate to that. The last football game John took me to, he said, the next time, I just think I'll let you stay home with your Greek book. Well, Greek was hard to master. It took a lot of time. And while those guys, you know, football's real slow. And so while they were always trying to get it together and every little thing, and it takes so long to get anything done, I thought, well, I can learn this conjugation while they're doing that. So I'm not going to talk to you today about how to pray or teach a lesson on the power of prayer. I hope to bring clarity that will establish prayer as a core value in your life. I want you to value prayer. I don't want you to see it as something you ought to do or something you got to do. I want you to value prayer. I want you to see what it's for, what it's about, why God gave it to us, and what a wonderful privilege it is. In my denominational church, I don't ever remember having been invited to a prayer meeting, ever. We had a meeting on Wednesday night, and we actually called it the prayer meeting, but nobody ever prayed. That's what they used to do in it, I think. And they taught one more lesson like they were prone to do. So in most churches, the Wednesday night prayer meeting has devolved into one more teaching time. You know why? Because people don't keep learning how to pray. And after the older prayers die off, then the next ones down the line are scared. Because the enemy got them early. And he's kept them scared. It takes the Holy Ghost to blast people out of that kind of fear. And so in our revival in 1980, the Lord just blasted all of us as a piece out of that nonsense. Really. Because the Holy Spirit was so moving among us, it wasn't hard for anybody to pray. We used to fight for room to pray. If the spirit of repentance would begin to move and then that burden would come on your heart and you'd want to repent, people would yell out to try to get their prayer out before someone else did. It was really fun to see people pray with zeal. In many churches, prayer is formal and lifeless. And that's because the connection is not made with the Holy Spirit for guidance and empowerment. You cannot pray without the Holy Ghost. You can say prayers all day long. You can buy a prayer book and read out of it. But you cannot pray to God without the Holy Spirit. After receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, my eyes were opened to the reality of being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. When I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, He gave me a prayer language. It's called speaking in tongues, and everybody can have that gift who will open their hearts and ask for it and receive it. It's a tremendous empowerment to prayer to be able to speak in tongues fluently. And once you break through speaking in tongues, don't just say, I spoke in tongues once. Come on. Keep speaking in tongues until you are fluent. You should be able to speak fluently in tongues, and you should grow in being able to speak in tongues. The Apostle Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. And he said, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Now, I don't know where people get the idea these days that they can just bypass the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, all of these things. This is why prayer is so weak in churches. It's because the Holy Spirit is needed. And the Lord gave the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of tongues, to help enable our praying. We need it. It needs to be spoken and taught in every church in America today. Churches could come alive in their praying if this would happen. And so once we bought the property for this ministry, A few of us would come onto the property every day and pray. Every day. And we would pray for direction. We would pray for provision. We would pray for God to open our understanding, to give us revelation. And we prayed on the property because we wanted a direct connection between us and the property and what we were praying about. And we prayed that God would bless the property itself in every way and let it be the beacon that it has become today. We prayed that this property would always be for the glory of God and no other purpose. And then Heidi Baker prophesied that when she was here. This property will never be used for anything else other than the glory of God. It'll never be a shopping center or a subdivision. It's going to be used for the purpose that God set it aside and to bring Him glory. So we believe that this very property is blessed. Every now and then the enemy tries to do a little confusion or two on it, but that doesn't last long, and it's always the property of God for His glory. Where wonderful, heavenly, healing, supernatural things happen. When people have asked me how to start a church, I tell them to begin with gathering a group of people who will devote themselves to prayer, for there is no other way that it can be done biblically. You cannot start a church without prayer. Now, a lot of churches are being started without prayer today, but I'm talking about God's biblical church. I'll be teaching about revival in this series on core values, but today I simply want to reference it as it relates to the birthing of the prayer ministry of the church here. Our prayer ministry here didn't come about because I read a book and said, boy, it's going to be tough, church, but we better try to do this. I didn't have to do that at all. When the Lord came in revival, you know the agent of revival is the Holy Ghost. And when He came, He gave us a spirit of prayer. And so we started praying. And nobody would miss the prayer meeting because anything was going to happen, that's where it was going to happen. Nothing exciting happened except in the prayer meetings. And you couldn't even explain a prayer meeting. If you weren't there, you just missed it. You just missed it. It was a sovereign move of the Spirit of God. It began on a Sunday morning of a visitation from God, which continued day and night for 4 months. And now you wonder why we're so weird. And beyond that, there was established a ministry of prayer, which was birthed during the revival, which continues to this day. And the saturation present of that revival could be easily felt for 4 years. It's a different realm. God put us in a different realm. We were a people saturated with God, and that's what revival is. It's not a few days of meetings. It's the moving in. Duncan Williams says, it's when God gets tired of people saying the wrong thing about Him and comes to represent Himself. And if you're ever a part of a revival, you really know what God is like. That's what God is like. It's just full of love. It's full of power. It's full of healing. It's full of revelation. It's full of worship. It's wonderful. You don't ever want it to stop. You want to just be where He is. During this revival, the Lord took us from one level where we were on and lifted us up into another realm of praying. Now, we had been praying as best we could figure out, but He birthed us by the Holy Spirit into prayer in that revival. The more we prayed, the more we saw miracles, the more we experienced the wonderful healing and delivering presence of Jesus. In our prayer meetings, there would be worship and songs and would be birthed, and many of which were published and are sung in churches today. Even the Baptists sing some of the songs that came out of that revival. It was in the prayer meetings that the Holy Spirit gave great conviction and blessed us with the gift of repentance so that we could be truly free. And we asked forgiveness of God and each other, and there came a heavenly unity. Now that we had unity, there was nothing to get in the way of accomplishing what God wanted us to do, and we did everything. Every major ministry of this church was born in that revival. And it was in 1980 on a February day that the Lord came. He gave us a great cry to know Him and to worship Him. We began to seek Him more than we ever did before. We didn't like have a revival and, well, now that's over, let's get back to normal. I don't ever want to get back to normal. If we get normal, please somebody do something to stir it up. Don't do something bad now. We began to seek Him more and more. And the effect of revival was to pressure us into a ministry of prayer as a church. It was not praying because that's what we should do or because that's what we had been taught. It was praying because that was the way to Him. And we just got so hungry for Him and for His presence and to experience His presence, to hear His voice. Listen, did you ever have this experience like I had this morning where you go in for your prayer time? I don't pay a whole lot of attention to how I feel. I'm real glad when I feel good and when I feel like really touching God. But if I don't, as Smith Wigglesworth said, you know, if He doesn't move, I move Him. You know how to move God? Get into prayer. Start worshiping Him and talking to Him. For you know it, those dry eyes will become moist. Before you know it, that hard heart will begin to melt. You'll begin to see the truth about things where you had been so angry or resentful about something. The lights will turn on if you'll just take that time. Just start talking to God. I mean, go ahead. I know you have to do this anyway, so I just give you release to do it. Go ahead and start with, well, Lord, I don't know how to pray. Lord, I'm not good at praying. Just get all that off your chest. Lord, I'm not good enough to pray. It's a wonder you'd ever listen to me. Go ahead, have 10 minutes of it. And then get into praying. And then just say, I love you. Start worshiping the Lord. Tell Him how wonderful He is. Thank Him for the last wonderful thing He did for you. Ask Him to do the thing you need done for you the most. Pray for that person that's on your heart that you're very concerned about. Before you know it, you'll become a person really connected with Him. I'm talking about real prayer. See, I don't believe it's real prayer. I think sometimes people do the best they can. I'm not faulting it. Everybody's just where they are. But prayer shouldn't sound dry and lifeless. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to Thee this night. We're the least of all the sinners. We've come to our hope is in You. I want to tell you some things about prayer. Prayer is another level of faith and reality in the Spirit of God, and it's wonderful. I was delighted when I read a book on the Great Prayer Revival of 1858 to find out that the Holy Spirit led them in their prayer meeting. It was, when they described it, it was exactly the way He led us in our prayer meetings. That we would begin by praying, and we would pray a while, and then we would sing a while. And sometimes someone would prophesy, or there would be a song would be given by the Spirit of God, or sometimes someone would lead out a song that we all knew. And so we would pray, and we would sing, and all of that would flow in together. That's the way it was in the Holy Ghost revival in 1858. It's the Spirit that leads us to simply open up our hearts to God, and then He will teach us to pray. He will teach us to pray. I'm really glad that somebody, some person, didn't say, now pray like this, Sue. I was never taught that about prayer. I just sort of came into this thing praying because I had to, because God called me immediately when He saved me. When the Lord came to us in revival sovereignly, the Holy Spirit gave us a cry to know Him and to worship Him. And we began to seek Him more than ever before. And the effect of revival then was to bring us into this wonderful prayer ministry. So we can truly say the Holy Spirit taught us to pray. We did not know of anyone else who was doing this like he taught us. But we later learned that this is what revival does. It gives birth by the Spirit to a prayer life. Everybody say prayer life. So we teach that you should pray, but I really teach that you should have a prayer life. Because just praying really won't keep you out of trouble. It really won't take you where you want to go. It really won't do the work of building the kingdom of God. You have to have a prayer life. And I strongly suggest that you have some sort of a spiritual diary or prayer journal, that you just jot down things that you've asked God for, answered prayers. And I have numbers of them through the years that helps me to remember how grateful I should be for all of the miracles that God has done through answers to prayer. It's been wonderful. This work was really built and formed by prayer. You know, prayer changes things. One of my publishers decided to publish a book called Prayer Changes Things. And this is really the truth. I didn't do anything. They just wrote and told me that a chapter from my book, Prayer in Another Dimension, was going to be in this book and that I'd be getting a small cut of the royalties in that, because there were 9 other authors and that they were going to publish it. Only the people required to read it are punished. Actually, it's a popular kind of a book because it's got really, the other people in it are well known and important. And it's people that teach on prayer and write on prayer. It's got some good authors in there. And I'm always forgetting that I have it. So when I go on a trip or something, I forget to tell them to put it in the package to send with me. But I really do like the book. And they chose the chapter called Prayer in Another Dimension, because I believe that it is possibly the most different kind of thing that I could have ever said about prayer that would help people in their prayer life. In other words, I understand that what you write, or even a politician, he's not going to be the hero, the politician. He's not the hero. You're the hero. If he succeeds with you, he's going to tell you how you're going to succeed. Right? And that's why some of our politicians are doing quite well in this race, and people can't figure out why. It's because this person is telling you, this is what you're going to be able to do. And this is in the book. This is why I think that this one particular chapter was chosen. It tells you what you could be doing in prayer based on what I have seen that other people have done. How many of you would like to know how much more you could accomplish in prayer? I would like to know how I could get into prayer that's deeper and higher and more powerful than what today. If someone could tell me some place I could go, I'd beg you to give me the time off, go study a while, and learn to pray in another realm. It'd be terrific to me. It tells how I learned why prayer in many other countries is so powerful compared to the way we go about prayer in America. As I've been in prayer meetings in Africa, South America, India, many countries, I've found that there are 5 particular elements to their praying that are greatly lacking in Western prayer. And if we could pick up and practice these elements, we could change our prayer lives for the better. Does anybody want that? Yeah. I've been asked to teach in many churches. I've had pastors ask me, can you teach our people so they'll get out of themselves and really start praying? That's what they want. And so I've been able to, I use these 5 points to teach them how to do that. I have seen whole churches dedicated to this, and it's tremendously powerful. It's not very American, so you just have to fasten your seatbelt. Because we just love silent prayers. We love silence in America. I mean, we like it when it's time to pray. You know that let's have a moment of silent thing? That's because we wouldn't want to say let's pray, because then you have, nobody should be expected to pray. So we have a moment of silence. And I guess that means respect. But really, prayer is not really about silence. I hope you know that. If you need to be silent, it's okay. If you feel like being silent and you're in touch with God, it's okay. But prayer is really about talking to God or declaring the things of God or confessing the things of God or decreeing the things of God or quoting the scripture as the verse you're praying on because you believe it for your healing or whatever else. You got to talk about it. Prayer, you got to talk. So these are the... let me just do it one at a time, but I'm not going to take time on it because I don't have the time to take, because we not want to preach the everlasting gospel today. But number one, I saw in these other countries, for them, prayer is vocal. Now, you have to pull on Americans to get them to be vocal in prayer. And in the book of Acts, if you will notice, all the way through the book of Acts, they lifted up their voice with one accord. It was not at all unusual for the whole church to pray together with one accord. You can do that. Or you can pray vocally like we do in our corporate prayer meeting, where a person leads out in prayer and the others agree. And then somebody else leads out in prayer. And we try to let the Spirit of prayer, the Holy Spirit, lead us to pray for the things that are on the heart of God. Not just some thoughts we had. Well, I think maybe we ought to pray for this. Now, we want to wait on God and see what He wants us to pray. Oh, there you go. I might pray the wrong thing. We have never shot anybody here for praying the wrong thing. It's okay. I don't even know how you could say you're praying the wrong thing. You're just where you are in prayer. Go on, pray. If you want to be safe, pray on the subject they're praying on. You won't miss it. You could elongate it. You can be forgiven for that. It's amazing how much you can be forgiven for. What is the thing is, the voice is very powerful. No sound is without significance, Book of Corinthians says. When you make a sound, it's significant. It's not always significant to just be in a prayer meeting or just be in a worship service. But when you make sounds, it's significant. I like the sounds I heard today. I heard people singing free praise. I heard us really worshiping God on that last song. The words were really hard. That oh, 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 oh. And that could be one reason that we got it right and it was easy. But I did feel it was from the heart. I felt we want to say oh, oh, oh. If that's a word of awe, then I say amen. Oh, God, how great you are. Vocal. Second thing is authoritative. Authoritative. We have prayed. I don't know where we got the idea that whimpering is humility. God never told us to whimper in prayer. Now He tells us to pour out our hearts. And there's a time to weep and cry over your sins or over the souls of the lost. And if you don't ever cry, then I think you need to pray for the gift of tears. So God help me. I'm trying to balance everything I say. But you have to learn about authority in prayer. When I'm praying for someone, Isaac, when I'm praying for Tommy, I pray, Holy Spirit, I believe you to work in his body. And I believe that every trace of anything that has to do with cancer leaves his body. And I declare that he has a report, and I see that report, that it is good. And I believe it is your will, because you bore stripes for this. So I declare health and healing and victory in his body. That's praying with authority. I don't say, now Lord, if you can do anything. See, there's already been somebody that prayed that prayer. A guy came to Jesus and said, well, if you can do anything. You know what he said? If you can do anything. He'd turn it right back, and you need to start believing me. Well, I say, I believe God, and I can believe God, and I have, and I will. Amen. Authoritative. And then fervent. Fervent. This is an important word. Fervent. Don't you like to watch a movie? where the people have some feeling about them. And you could feel that feeling. There's a fervency. It could be a fervency for, say, their nation or their vocation or another person. A fervency, a real feeling. So we can't pray in a ho-hum way. We've got to get some feeling. I just love it when, you know, if I'm in a prayer meeting or a worship meeting, either one, and I just find tears coming to my eyes, I just let that happen. Hey, when you start crying, let it happen. You've been hard-hearted long enough. We need to get tender before God. But fervent also means that you're willing to really stretch yourself out and that you care about it. And like when Jacob wrestled with the angel and he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. That's fervent. And then there's prophetic praying and praying from God's word where you use a scripture. You pray on a scripture. Here's the thing. If you pray the scripture, you know that you're not praying something wrong. Because we don't want to be praying our unbelief, our fears, our doubts, our questions. They don't get you anywhere. Don't pray that. Pray God's word. Don't pray the problem. Pray the answer. Pray, Lord, you said. Just like as we were praying, as we were saying at the end of the service this morning. What a great God, how he is to be blessed. Great are his benefits. We will bless his name forever. And the prophetic flow, when the spirit of prophecy gets into our praying, then we let that prophetic flow happen. That's a high level of prayer. And by the way, in other countries, they get into this. They do this. Most American churches, you wouldn't even stay in prayer long enough for that to happen. And then prayer is vertical, fifth thing. That is to say, prayer is not about the person sitting next to you. It's not about the way that you think you sound or the way somebody else sounds. It's not about are you impressing people or not. It's not about what would they think of me if I prayed that. Prayer is not to people. Prayer is to God. And when we come to prayer or to worship, get vertical. This is why we ask in our worship service, don't be talking to each other and don't be swapping menus and, and oh, I just forgot to do this. I'm going to run over and give this to Jim. No, don't. Hey, I mean, I believe God's here when we worship. So with God here, you mean you're going to go over and give something to Jim that you forgot to give him? Excuse me a minute, God. I've got to just say to yourself, quit being carnal. Okay. No, it's no extra charge for that. All that means is things are coming through our minds that we need to do later. Just park it. Right? In Yonghe Cho's church in Korea has 1 million members. Now that's a mega church. It's the largest church in the world. In the mid-80s, Yonghe Cho startled the Western world by revealing that not only did he have a huge church, but also what he called a prayer mountain. Individuals would go into little grottos in the mountainside and pray for hours or days. They developed a prayer culture which started before the church ever began with people gathering with Yonghe Cho under a tent and praying all night. Why? Because they wanted to be known as all night prayers? No, because they were starving and they were sick and God was their only hope. Someone's written a book called Can You Handle Your Blessings? That's the biggest problem in America. We haven't been able to handle our blessings. We can get back to God. And they developed a prayer culture. It continued to grow until their church became the wonder that it is today. Their members pray every morning at 5:30. A lot of them do. You can just go out on the streets, they say, and hear people as you walk. You can hear them through their open windows praying first thing in the morning. And thousands attend an all-night prayer meeting every Friday. They say there can be 2,000 women sitting there with children on their laps. not counting the other thousands. Cho credits prayer and their dedication to it as being the power that has kept them from the work of the enemy and allowed them to flourish. He said, where would we be if we hadn't prayed like this with a million people? It'd been like, they'd been like Moses, Lord, what have I done that you put all these people on me? So this has been our pattern, especially since 1980. If every person will have his own prayer life, which means that he dedicates the first part of his day to prayer, and if the congregation is dedicated to corporate prayer, which means specified times of praying together, then the devil will never be able to gain ascendancy, and the will of God will surely be done with power in the church. That is the answer to get the vision to come to pass as God has called us to do it, is to continue in prayer. Right now we're praying on Tuesday mornings and Friday evenings. And we have pre-service prayer right before the church service on Sunday morning. There's a group of prayers that pray at noon three days a week. That is kept firmly and rigidly and has been since I was in the hospital 6 years ago or however long that was. And I thank God for being held up by prayer, myself and the whole church. I just thought about it today, you know, how I've been able to do the things God wanted me to do, no matter what the devil tried to do to me, because so many people have held me up in prayer. The enemy cannot have his way when people are covering you and holding you up in prayer. Does prayer change things? We prepare the atmosphere for worship, for salvation and deliverance, where the very angels can be released to work among us, so that we can see miracles. We do all of this through prayer. Turn that sentence around and it says, without prayer, we are not likely to see angels and miracles and release and many salvations or deliverances, because all these things have to happen by prayer. And by the way, prayer was never meant for a handful of people. Prayer is an everybody exercise. Some people may be a little more skilled about it, may seem a little more powerful in it, may be a little bit more given to it, but prayer is for everybody. If we don't pray, we can't expect to see these things. Church service, the life, the form, the power comes from praying. When we pray regularly and sincerely, when we really mean it. John had a cousin, still has that cousin, who wanted to be in a music pastor. And he came to talk to John about it, and they were talking in my first office, which used to be behind the screen there. That's where the room was. And they were talking, the three of us were talking together in that office, and he was in a denominational church. And I think we were having a week of prayer of some kind, and he heard the people down here praying, and he felt the atmosphere. And he said, do you think I'll be able to experience anything like that if I take this job in this denominational church? And he was really touched by what he felt. He said, that's what I really want. It comes from prayer. We have a week of prayer and fasting. We've had it always. The first week in the month in January. And we ask everyone to fast as you can. People can fast on different levels. It's powerful. That sacrifice that you make on whatever level, and the fact that you set aside the time for that week to get in the Word of God and to be in these prayer meetings, God responds to that. It's amazing how much power comes out of prayer. It changes things. We receive covering from the attacks of the enemy when we pray in advance of things. This is like a preemptive strike when you pray. You pray there before you go there. It's changing the rules of engagement, which I preached not too long ago. If you pray ahead of what the enemy would like to do, then you determine where the battle will be fought and where. In other words, you're making the devil fight it with you right then, right now, while you're praying. And you don't wait till you get in that bad situation and you're not prayed up. Whoops, too late now. And so it's such an amazing thing that we can really change the rules of engagement by keeping our praying up to date. And you stay ahead of the things the enemy thinks that he can do. Otherwise, you're at Satan's mercy. Regular dedicated prayer keeps you ahead of the enemy. In our flesh, we wish it could all be easy. And we could just figure out, well, you can just go to that church and you can just like feel the angels. And every time I go, the atmosphere's wonderful. People cry. Sometimes people get saved and sometimes somebody gets delivered. And wow, it's just the most wonderful atmosphere. I wonder how in the world that happens. Not by accident. And if people don't pray, then you go into a church that you say about. One thing I found out today is I don't want to come back to this church anymore. Dead as a hammer. Well, you can't have life without prayer. That's what makes the difference. We'd like to have it easy, but it's not really that way. Many churches are actually run this way, though, but it's not God's way. We can do exceptional things if we'll pray for the way, if we'll pray the way God's Word teaches us to pray. The disciples actually prayed Peter out of prison. They prayed in an earthquake. Rattled those doors and opened them up. I'm just telling you here now, some things can happen when we pray. It said that the church continued steadfastly in prayer. And they stretched themselves out to pray. Because they learned, because, you know, James had got his head whacked off not too long before that. Now they've grown up some. And so when Peter gets in prison, they say, hey, boys, I think we ought to really go to prayer about this. Their prayers caused the very gates of the prison to shake open. There was a great earthquake. In answer to Elijah's prayer, fire came down from heaven, burned up the sacrifice, which I preached on recently, and caused a nation to come to God. This nation that we're living in can come to God, no problem. If the people that know how to pray really got marshaled into prayer, we could turn the nation around. I don't care what anybody's politics or background is. God would begin to work among us in ways that people would never have dreamed. He could put someone in office that nobody ever heard of. God knows exactly what to do when His people get in touch with Him. Wonderful things could happen if we would pray. The only way we can win the lost is to pray for them to be birthed into the kingdom of God. Pray for them. The Scripture says, pray the Lord of the harvest that He'll send forth laborers in the harvest. The Scripture calls it being birthed into the kingdom of God. John said you have to be born again to enter the kingdom. Paul says, You have many fathers and many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. And he said, I have begotten you or given birth to you. It's a spiritual reality. Isaiah 66 says, before she travailed, she brought forth, this is speaking of Israel, before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who has heard such a thing? Who's seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children. It's travail. It's crying out in prayer. It's really seeking God. I was in a meeting with where Kenneth Hagin was ministering. And he asked us to come forward and kneel and pray for the lost. And particularly for the ones we were concerned about. And I think it's partly the anointing that he carries. Before you knew it, we were all really crying out to God and weeping and crying for souls. That's what we need to do. We need to pray for the lost. When people come to church and they can't seem to get socketed in, you need to pray them in. You, as Paul said, you need to travail in birth again. Well, what's happened to so-and-so? Well, where's so-and-so? Well, travail him into his place. You know what's happened to him and what? You know, usually all I can say is we haven't seen him much lately. Because I'm not going to be telling people's details. What we need to do is just pray them into their places. You know, we were preparing for an outreach, a medical outreach in Mozambique. And the doctor that was doing that outreach, she found out that I was interested in going on that. She said, well, we're already full with a number that can go, but come to the prayer meeting if you want to when we pray for it tonight. Do you know how long they prayed for that outreach that night? 4.5 hours. And they really prayed. But then the next day when we went out and we ministered to those people throughout the day, and by the time evening came, we had started a church there. And those people in that village gave themselves to the Lord. But there was tremendous prayer preparation. You know, Heidi Baker says all kingdom reproduction comes from intimacy. In other words, having an intimate relationship with God is what births, what causes births to come in the kingdom. I don't know if I can, you know, all I know to do is to say it. But people don't get saved by being convinced intellectually. Or by making intellectual decisions. Well, seems like a pretty good thing. That is not salvation. It comes by the birthing of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it lists. And that is the way it is for everyone that is born by the Spirit of God. Pray for people to be really born again, saved. So Heidi Baker spends all morning, every morning in prayer and worship. She said when she started doing this, the number of converts increased 4 times. The Lord told her to do this. And they have around 10,000 churches in several countries, including Mozambique, in 10 years. I've heard of people, well-known people, missionaries, went to maybe India and worked 7 years before they had one convert. Well, in Mozambique, I mean, you can just win them right and left. They have just prayed in the presence of God there. And all you have to do is just make contact with the people and they start following Jesus. This is what we've got to do. We've got to pray it into being. The work of the kingdom can't be done without consistent Spirit-anointed prayer. It's a spiritual reality. It's not an intellectual achievement. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to pray and guides us into all truth and shows us the things to come. The most wonderful thing about prayer, and if people knew this, they'd be a lot more excited about it. We can pray the things out of heaven that God intends to give to earth. We can pray them. We can't bring them from heaven to earth without praying. And we can't cause it to come forth, but we can pray it out of heaven. And those angels were going up Jacob's ladder. They were going up to heaven, getting things, bringing things back. I mean, there is a ladder between heaven and earth, and Jesus is the ladder. And through him, we can bring the things out of heaven into earth. And you've heard me mention scriptures on this before. We can bring these things. Jesus himself taught us a pattern prayer and what we call the Lord's Prayer. We are to daily worship him, asking him for the things we need, for forgiveness. I'm just saying this is how the Lord's Prayer goes. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's daily worshiping him. Give us this day our daily bread. Of course we're going to ask him for what we need, and we're also going to thank him for what we have. Ask for his forgiveness and tell him that you're going to forgive others. Don't ask his forgiveness, you're not going to forgive others. Because that prayer says, as. As we forgive others, that's how we're going to be forgiven. An important part of the prayer is this then. It says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In the Greek, it's the imperative tense and it reads like this. Come, kingdom of God. Be done, will of God, on earth as it is in heaven. And that's the way we pray here. We don't say, oh Lord, if thou wouldest, thou couldest make things better on this earth that's killing us. But we declare what God has already said and promised, and by the way, told us to pray. He said, ask me. We are called to bring heaven to earth, first of all, by prayer. You know, there's no sickness in heaven. So we bring wellness to earth. There's no poverty in heaven, so we bring riches to earth. There's no lack in heaven, so we bring everything we need here to this earth. There's no hatred, so we bring love. There is no hunger in heaven. Everyone is fed. There's no wickedness or murder in heaven. And Jesus said, pray, come, kingdom of God. Be done will of God in earth as it is in heaven. Every time we get the opportunity to save the life of a baby so it won't be aborted, we are touching the kingdom of God. If we can change one murder and turn it into life, we have called the kingdom of God into being on this earth. For murder, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. And hatred is murder, by the way. Murder is hatred. And hatred is murder. So through prayer, we are to bring these things into being right here on earth. And every time we pray, these things are being brought, and we are establishing his kingdom on earth for his glory. And I just want to close with this thought. This being the case, I believe one reason that God called this church into being is that he called us to be a praying church. He called us to be a church that would pray miracles and the things he wanted to do into being. And that we would teach others to pray. And that we would help them along the road. That we would help to establish them in this. And I believe that the day is coming that prayer will be restored to the churches. And that again, you can go into a sanctuary and hear people praying. And it won't be so quiet you could hear a pin drop. But there's going to be a life force there. So you'll hear people praying for each other and crying out to God. And have people understand that we can't do anything without prayer. You know, when the nation took prayer out of the school, we lined our schools up to be invaded by murderers and dope pushers and all of the other things that have happened in our schools. If in a day we would put prayer back into school, you'd be astounded. You'd be astounded. You know, I know the people that... I went to a Pentecostal church when I was a child. So our principal who prayed over the PA system didn't impress me. But I believe God heard those prayers. And I think he heard every prayer. And I think he heard a nation that prayed and protected us from so many of these things. If we would come back to prayer again. Jesus came to earth. One of the reasons was to restore prayer. And in Matthew 21, just this scripture and I'm finished. Matthew 21, 12. Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said to them, it is written, Jesus said this, and he's quoting the Old Testament. It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. My house shall be called the house of prayer, not a gathering place for people who come to the events they want to come to. The house of prayer. But you have made it a den of thieves. And in the book of Acts, you remember that Peter and John went to pray and met a lame man on the way. And they healed that man on the temple steps. It says they were going up to pray at the hour of prayer. Jesus restored that right and that privilege, that understanding that you're supposed to really be praying in this temple. So now they could go to those hours of prayer, which they did, and a man was healed outside on the steps. Things begin to happen when you really pray. When you don't just go into the house of God to be putting in your time. And so Jesus actually took out the old order when he went in and cleaned out the temple of all of this false worship and the Phariseeism and all that was not of God. And he said, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer." Now, church, I want to say this to you. People admire prayer when you do it. They admire you for being a prayer. They don't want you to talk about it too much because it begins to make them feel challenged. And I've actually had people say, "Well, it sounds like you pray so much in your church. Does it? Do you have to pray that much?" I said, "You get to. It's obvious nobody has to, isn't that right? Nobody here. I mean, if you don't come, you don't have to. If you don't have your morning devotions, you don't have to. But you get to. And oh, the sorrows that you're delivered from for spending that time, and how powerful the church can be because we can do things corporately praying that you can't do. You can't do everything praying by yourself. You need to pray corporately with the rest of the church. So I want to encourage you. This church was built on the bedrock of prayer. And I want to encourage you to come to as many prayer meetings as you possibly can, to have your morning prayer time, and in times in church, in the sanctuary, when we're worshiping and praying, give yourself in prayer. I'll tell you how to get a prayer language. Read the Psalms aloud. Or read the Song of Solomon. That's another one. I pray, sometimes I just pray things, lines that I've remembered from the Song of Solomon. Get the Word in you, and then let the Word come out of you in prayer. I believe we've got a new day coming in prayer. I believe God's going to give a fresh anointing for prayer. Do you know how I know that? Because we can't go any further till we do. We're just right here, right now. But if we really give ourselves more to prayer, and if we really understand the purpose and what all can be established in it, then we can all just yield up ourselves and surrender to His will, to His way. We stand together for just a moment. When we began this ministry, you know, the sky was the limit. We really didn't know what God was calling us to, but we knew that He was calling us to something that could only be done by Him, by His Holy Spirit. And so, because the sky is the limit, then it became very exciting to dream about what He might ask us to do next. So, you know, then He called us to have a Bible school, and then He called us to have conferences and special meetings and things like that. So whatever things that the Lord called us to, we had to pray it into being. We had to pray it through. So I'm just going to believe God this morning to birth in each one of us. Give us a revelation of what it is to be a praying person, a person with a prayer life. And I'm going to pray for you that God will grace you. You know, Sam Sasser's definition of grace was the giving of new desires and the wetting of those desires until God's purpose is fulfilled. So we need more of God's desires. We need more grace about prayer, don't we? We need more grace about prayer. I'm going to ask you to just step forward a minute, and I just want you up closer so I can pray for you. I'm not going have anybody pray aloud, won't scare anybody. Nothing. Sergio Scataglini called a little book on going out and witnessing. When I was in Argentina, he held it up and called it the Book of Terrors. And you know, we have all of these fears that are just connected with, come on up, just a little, there's a hole right there you need to fill in. And we have all these fears. It's just leftover things from the past. Some people have scared you fearful. I mean, you've just been in situations where you say, oh no, I don't ever want that thing to happen again. But it's a new day. And now you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives you power. And He gives you boldness. That you can speak things. You can speak them out. I want to impress this on you. Speaking is powerful in the kingdom of God. Speak the scripture. Speak your prayers. Speak your worship. Because it's very powerful. It makes you strong in God. That's why testimony is so powerful. Is that you're continually telling people what God has done for you. And God acknowledges that. Now, I want to pray for you this morning for a fresh grace about prayer. And I want you to either hold your hands up or just open your palms up, either one, whatever's comfortable for you. Because I'm believing God's going to put something in those hands and touch you afresh and anew this morning. Lord, I want to pray for your people today. I'm believing you for a new, fresh grace concerning prayer. For every person who's had any kind of a fear or a dread, I break that power. And I declare that we are the anointed of the Lord. And we have the Holy Ghost and He lives in us. And I thank you, Lord, that you called us to be men and women, boys and girls, who pray and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we want to be absolutely free. We want to be absolutely free. And we want to be useful prayers. We want to have our part in establishing the vision and building the church, establishing your kingdom right here on earth. We want to step out of every reluctance that we've had before and step into being a completely different kind of praying people. I want you to do this one little thing. I believe that you've got space and you can do this. I'm going to ask everybody, don't move yet, because I don't have a lot of room. But what I want you to do is say, I take that step. Aren't you ready? Let's first say, I take that step.
I take that step.
Now I want you to take one step forward. Now, Lord, this is a step that puts us in another place of grace.
Yes.
We have faith to believe you, that this is what you want for us. And we thank you that you made us prayers that can bring down the strongholds of the enemy. And that can reach out to people in need of salvation and healing and deliverance. Lord, in this house, we want to see deliverances and healings. And we want to see the angels working. And we want to pray ourselves into a place where you will feel at home in our midst. Lord, we love you and we praise you for your wonderful goodness to us. Eddie, would you play something for us that we can sing together before we go today?
He touched me. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. And something wonderful happened. I met this blessed Savior. Since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. Oh, He touched me.
Yes, He did.
Oh, He touched me.
Lord, we're your people called by your name. We confess we need you. And we're not ashamed to call on the name of the Lord or to declare his name is great. And we want to declare it to the ends of the earth. And we pray that you will loose us, Lord, into prayer lives that are way beyond where we are now. Morning by morning. Morning by morning. Lord, we believe you that we make this choice and then your Holy Spirit comes through for us. Thank you, Lord, for the choice to have the discipline to take that step. And then we praise you that your Holy Spirit comes through for us. Thank you for the work of the Holy Ghost. And we give you praise and honor and glory for putting us on a fresh new road today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Remember what I said to do? Start reading the Psalms aloud. Read the Song of Solomon aloud. Read the Word of God. Then when you pray, read the promises of God and say, Lord, you promised. And then read that promise and pray that. Amen? Well, may your prayer lives catch on fire and burn brightly. In Jesus' name. Amen.